and welcome to Plan Lehigh Valley, the WDIY program presented along with our partners from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. I'm your co-host, Margaret McConnell, the executive director here at WDIY. I host this program along with Becky Bradley, who's the executive director of the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, and their managing editor, Matt Assad. Becky has been with the Planning Commission since August of 2013, and Matt has been there since 2017. So they are our veterans in the Valley with the Planning Commission, and today they're bringing their expertise to focus on the busy year ahead, which follows a very busy 2025. So things are not going to slow down anytime soon for this region, and Becky is going to walk us through that.
Yeah, I feel like every year things get a little faster, right?
Seems that way.
And that there's more and more need as our population grows, as our employment base grows, as then, you know, stresses on our utilities and our schools and even businesses as they, you know, work to rise to the various challenges continue. And it's like fun and exciting all at the same time, but there's also a lot of hard work that goes into getting everybody at the table, keeping everybody at the table, and making sure that as a region, we're putting it all together through good planning and then implementation. So that's a lot of the work that the LVPC does. And we're focusing on some very specific strategies as well as the comprehensive regional plan this year to try to explore what's next, but also deal with what's in front of us and chart a path for how we navigate through the challenges, but also the opportunities this robust region has.
Great. Lots of exciting things that we have to talk about today. Let's start with the one everyone wants to talk about, and one that you and I think, started kind of the beginning of our careers or early on in our careers with the same subject being talked about, and that is passenger rail.
Yes. Can you believe that? Like 20 years ago?
It's more than that, but let's not go there.
Right. Okay. Can we do this was the question, right? And if so, like, what do we have to do to make it happen? Well, as we've learned, it's really, really complicated. So Lehigh Valley Passenger Rail, we worked with the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation in 2024 to really develop a phase strategy, because we learned in all of the work that we've been doing and the constant conversations about what's possible and what can be done, that there's a very well-defined federally required process for seeing if you basically even can qualify to do passenger rail. That's the simplest way to say it. But PennDOT was gracious enough to outline that strategy and produce a report, which people can look at on Lehigh Valley's Planning Commission's website at lvpc.org. But what that told us is what we really needed to do to see if we could start the process of reestablishing passenger rail. And so we found out that that phase two of the process was going to cost us about $400,000. Well, that's a lot of money in consulting services that we would need to bring in from, you know, experts that work in this area. But that phase two essentially would need to include those federal steps, which are figuring out what the preferred route would be. And there's kind of like qualification levels for that. So we would have to look at the Lehigh Valley, New Jersey route, the Lehigh Valley, Philadelphia route, and even be required to look at the Lehigh Valley, Reading route. So those are the three routes that we would have to look at and see which would have the most potential ridership. And then that would also help us get to the next step, which would be included in that phase two, which would be who is a preferred operator. Would that be a partner like SEPTA or New Jersey Transit? Could it be Amtrak? Would Lanta be interested? And then really start to lay out the federally defined strategy for then what happens next. How much would it cost? What would the community economic impact of that system be? So we're now moving into that phase, and that's because Lehigh County at the end of 2025 came through with $100,000 of money to match $300,000 in state funds to get up to that $400,000 we need to look into this passenger rail system. And once that phase two's done, we're going to know if we can do this thing or not. And that's really, really where we stand. But if we don't do this, there's no possibility at all. Previous studies kind of did that surface level overview, but not at the level that the federal government needs for us to be considered to enter into a corridor ID program, which is the formal program set up by the Federal Rail Administration for these types of systems.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask because I know there have been past studies. So good to have the clarity that this is a more in-depth study.
And one of the things we learned is that there's like 14 steps. This one is only the second of the 14, but it's kind of a linchpin step. It really, you know, early on, it's the most important step. I mean, it's going to be the one that tells us whether we can do this or not.
All right, let's talk next about housing strategy. It's such a big issue everywhere. What's going to happen in 2026?
So we did so much work last year with the Urban Land Institute in partnership with Lehigh County as our funding and knowledge partner, along with ULI. They did a number of community workshops, met with all the Lehigh County local governments about housing shortages. And you can actually go on our website. We have a really cool interactive, basically data site. So you can go and say, okay, I live in community X and I want to know if my kids can afford to live here. And our analysis will tell you that. In fact, it's the first of its kind in the entire country. And we actually won an award from the National Association of Regional Councils for our leadership in this regard. And now people are asking us to show them how to do this all across the country. So we know that it's been effective. But once you have the data, then what does it mean? And so we got together a bunch of community leaders, local governments, industry, so realtors and developers, everybody in the same room, affordable housing providers, and said, okay, how do we solve this? And I went through a facilitated process with the Urban Land Institute and came up with a series of recommendations, which were really, 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 really close to having ready to publish. The biggest thing I think that's important to note is that because of that big housing downturn in 2008, 2009, we've had a serious underproduction of housing units across the country, right? And that's acknowledged by everybody from the lead economists at some of the largest banks in the country to federal, state governments, county governments. But our issue is even more unique because we've had so much population growth, but we have had a significant amount of housing production, largely in the apartment market rate, apartment market. We still do have a significant housing shortage, and there's a delay from when things are proposed to when they get built. But we're really starting to turn our focus on ownership. And there's all kinds of reasons why ownership units have lagged, from generational debt to income ratio differences to just a general hesitancy by the entire financial sector, whether it's the FDIC and Federal Reserve to banks themselves, to lending to people who don't have 20% down. And that's harder and harder and harder as younger people have higher and higher debt to income ratios. And on top of it, housing costs in the region increasing in many cases over 20%. In just since the pandemic, so in a really short five-year stretch. So our issues are different. They aren't so much the missing middle housing problem that you hear about in other parts in the country, is they are literally a missing upper end and a missing lower income market, which creates compression into the middle and all across the spectrum. So we really have a missing housing problem. A lot of market rate rentals have come online, some ownership, but really we want to focus on increasing unit production overall with a stronger focus on ownership across various income spectrums. So expect to see that come out in the strategy and then a whole series of initiatives be released to continue this multi-sector partnership between the public sector, the private sector and the nonprofit sector to increase availability of housing and access to housing globally.
Okay, great. Moving on, I understand that the Planning Commission is going fully digital with plan submissions. So tell us about that and how that will work.
Okay, so this one is very cool and very nerdy. Going to start there for sure. So right now we accept plans in hard copy. And sometimes those plan sets, like they have to bring them in on like a trolley almost, a little like a suitcase trolley, that there's so many plan sheets, literal binders of stormwater calculations and traffic generation numbers that are, you know, four inch binders each thick. So it's a lot to go through. And it seems a lot more efficient to be able to have that electronically, but also if for people to submit stuff electronically. If they still do need to give us things for land development or stormwater review or other types of review by paper because they don't have access to electronic means, we'll still do that too. But the goal is to get folks online. It'll allow us to do more real-time reviews that have stronger coordination with our local governments, because especially on the land development side, they get the plans early on and so do we. We have one bite at the apple, 30 days, no exceptions, to get back to our local government's comments on those land development reviews, unless we're their municipal planning commission, which we are in the case of about a handful of communities. But most of our 62 local governments have their own subdivision and land development ordinance provisions. So we formally advise them under the state municipalities planning code. So they want to get those comments back quickly. And electronic means is a lot more efficient and, quite frankly, provides us a cost savings, which means the taxpayers and the applicants are saving money if we can transfer letters and other things electronically. So we're setting ourselves up for that. But also it'll be a portal where people can put in information requests. We do hundreds of grant application reviews for consistency with the regional plan every year. Some people just email them to one or two people, you know, if they're on vacation that and they need that letter in 2-3 days, that obviously is a problem. If it comes in through our e-plan portal, then multiple people will be able to see it and we'll be able to respond and just make it easier for everybody, more efficient and faster. So that's really the goal of the e-plan system. And we're pretty excited about it, but it's been a huge, you know, year plus effort led by Jill Seitz, our chief community planner. And she's just doing a great job with the team getting ready for what we're hoping will be a soft launch in April.
Okay.
And we're going to save forests of trees.
I was going to say, it sounds like a tree saver to me.
It is.
All right. So that makes a lot of sense. Now let's talk about something that never makes sense to me, but I know is Matt's favorite topic, and that is Route 22.
It's extreme interest. Nothing wrong with that.
I have extreme interest too on why it's so hard to drive on it. But anyway, shoot, go ahead.
He likes to call it Main Street, you know, Lehigh Valley's Main Street. And that's because unlike most highways, people get on one exit, get off the next one. It really is kind of a main street. And there are places that take 110,000 cars a day. So it's super important. The problem with it is it has so many needs and they're so expensive that it has a possibility of like dominating the transportation improvement program budget. So we are this year commissioning a study, the Route 22 Mobility Safety and Congestion Management Plan, also known as What to Do with 22, so that a long-term strategy can be designed for the plan. It's going to include priority projects. It's going to include like recommendations of what to do. Now, a similar plan was done in 2001, but it had this giant menu of options. It didn't really have suggestions of what to do, and it didn't have any strategy. It just said, here, this is what you could do. So this one is going to be a lot more targeted, and it's going to give us sort of a path forward on what we should do. It'll have a clearly defined strategy, and we're going to have it hopefully by the end of the year.
Okay.
And the beautiful thing about it is it'll work directly with the local governments along the route too, you know, and major stakeholders like major businesses, you know, some schools have some footprint adjacent to 20, many, many stakeholders as part of this. So it won't just be like a, hey, let's throw it at the wall and see what sticks. This will actually be a coordinated strategy of what is the priority and what are some possible options for that. Like, we do know that, for example, a couple of years ago, Hanover Township in Northampton County was talking to our Lehigh Valley Transportation Study, who's managing this effort. That's our transportation board. And saying, well, hey, you know what? We're having some real noise issues in the township. Can we talk about maybe some sound walls or some other types of treatments in certain locations along 22? And PennDOT and LVPC went to the U.S. Department of Transportation and said, like, hey, you know, hey, what can we do here? And they told us that the monies that we received couldn't just be used for sound walls. And we said, huh, so what can we do in this case? And it was conversations like that that led us to the conclusion of, yeah, we need a real strategy with real treatments outlined, a schedule for when we're going to need to improve bridge structures, look at interchanges. And another thing too, is 22 doesn't look so nice in certain sections of it when you're driving it. There's real issues with storm drainage and some other things along that route. And so we have a real opportunity to make 22 look better, which is key for, actually, there's plenty of studies on this, for improving driver behavior, which is one of the biggest issues and why 22 is congested, is because, well, people don't know how to drive with other people on the road.
That's true.
Yeah. And, you know, just talking to Discover Lehigh Valley, or everybody knows Cassie Hilgert, the CEO of ArtsQuest. And I remember one time she said to me, and this was a while ago, she said, you know what, if our road system looked better, it would actually be great for tourism and economic development. And, you know, she's right. But it's also good for our air quality if we start using natural system services through plants and trees and other things to really offset the carbon emissions that are happening by all the vehicles on the roadway. Right. And we're going to talk about some things like, where does it make sense to widen this thing? Mm-hmm. And where doesn't it? Because the one thing that you can't do is go through and just say, we're going to widen the whole thing. Like the federal government, because that will be the majority investor in a road of this scale, would be money allocated vis-a-vis Congress and signed into law by the president through whatever the infrastructure bill is at the time to implement it. They would be at least 80% of the budget in general. And that, you know, is an annual budget. So, you know, we have to make a argument why the federal government should invest here. I think that's really some of the benefits of the study. Is it's not just about like, okay, we need to know exactly what projects in what order needs to be coordinated with people that have knowledge and need within that system. But also then, how do we fund this thing? And so that's really what it's designed to be, a very practical, hence the name strategy, for what to do with 22.
Okay, so let's keep talking about transportation. There's a transportation improvement plan, and there's something you're working on with congestion management. Tell us about that, Matt.
Well, the Transportation Improvement Plan is actually the sort of where the rubber meets the road. That is all of the projects, more than 100 road, bridge, trail, and community projects, really in every corner of the Lehigh Valley. This is the plan that basically gets everything done. And it's actually real money on a plan and real projects happening. So they're happening right now. And this is the four-year plan. It's $543 million. It's going to be finalized in June. We already kind of know the list. We've been putting it together. But there will be a 30-day public review period that's probably going to start sometime in April. And that's when the public will get a chance to see it. We'll have three public hearings and we'll, you know, roll out all of the projects. And that's when they'll kind of have their say and when we can make adjustments if need be. But that's really the plan that stuff is actually happening. And when you see a, you know, reduced roadway, it's because one of those things is happening out there.
Okay, great. Now, what about Safe Streets for All? What is that and why is it important?
Really, that's a transportation safety strategy. So I think all of us have heard one too many times about a serious injury or yet another fatality on one of the Lehigh Valley's roads. It could be related to a vehicle-to-vehicle collision, There was one just in Whitehall Township a few weeks ago where a cyclist was killed by a car. These things are happening all too often. And as our region grows and more people are here and they're walking more, they're biking more, they're on and off buses and using the transit system as they're going down our roads in passenger vehicles, as they're making deliveries in delivery vans, or, you know, even long haul trucking moving through our region, there's just going to be more stress on the transportation system. So how do we make that transportation system safer for everyone? And that's the for all piece. So we went to the U.S. Department of Transportation and asked them, would you support us in creating a better transportation safety plan than we have now? And they said, yes, we will. And we just found out right before the end of the year that we received $800,000 from the U.S. Department of Transportation to create what they call a Safe Streets for All plan. So that will focus on all 62 Lehigh Valley municipalities to identify projects for investment to address everything from making vehicles safer on our roadways to pedestrian bicycle safety. So the program's designed to prevent injuries and fatalities while promoting all modes of transportation. So we're very excited about receiving that funding and very appreciative of it. I do want to thank too our county partners who were helpful in providing the match so we could apply for this funding as well. But as soon as we get that grant agreement, we're going to start, and that's fully executed, we are going to start working on that project. So that's one that we're really looking forward to. And we're hopeful that that would kick off sometime in the second half of this year.
Okay. All right, moving on to environmental related projects. What is the trail connection strategy?
Oh, yes. So in partnership with the Pennsylvania Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, in a partnership that we have in the region called a conservation landscape, we call it Lehigh Valley Greenways. It's where all of the trail partners and local governments and agencies like ours get together and say, okay, what are our trail and recreation environmental challenges in the region, and how can we work on resolving those? And so we've been working with them to identify the region's largest trail gaps. We're in the process of prioritizing those right now. And then we should have a report out here in the just the next couple of months that says, hey, these are our highest priority gaps in the system. And then it helps those partners like the DNL and even local governments of Northampton counties got a bunch of cool trail projects going, Lehigh County too, helps them once that report is published, seek funding to help work towards closing those gaps. And it elevates those as not only recreational priorities and healthy community and livability priorities, but as transportation priorities for our region as well. We know that people are using some of our trails to commute to jobs. We think that's fantastic. And so we're learning through this process that people are using things that were traditionally thought of as recreational facilities for much, much more. And so we're proud to be able to figure out what's going to happen next along with all of those folks and come up with a prioritized list that'll help us close those gaps over the next decade or so.
Some of these plans we'll have entire shows on sometime later in the year.
Yes.
We're just giving you the lightning round for this show.
Right. It's a lot.
Yeah. And we don't have much time left. So in the last few minutes we have left, let's talk about the plan that directs all other plans, Future LV. The regional plan.
I feel like I've been talking a lot. Matt, you're going to have to interject on this one for sure.
This is definitely you. So fire away, go.
I see how you are. But Future LV, the regional plan, is the plan for the region. It is our strategy. And it's not like LVPC's strategy, though, you know, we put together the plan, coordinate, collaborate with all the partners, but it's also Lehigh and Northampton counties. Comprehensive land use, environmental, housing, economic, parks and recreation, coordinated strategy. It's called a comprehensive plan for a reason. In addition, it's what they call, in federal parlance, the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. So that looks at how our transportation system is incorporated against all of those land use and public facilities and other needs, utility needs in the region, and creates that single strategy that is the direction for the Lehigh Valley. And that brings together tons and tons of partners. We actually spent all last year updating all of the data on the region. So that's why you heard about the updated employment and population projections, why you heard so much on transportation data that we did, and why partnerships like with the United Way and AARP and all the walk audits that we did were so important, because all of that specific plans feed into that strategy for the region. And it is a legal strategy, so covered under a series of state and federal statutes. So it's very, very important. And one thing that I'm proud of here at the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, and I'm proud of the Lehigh Valley for, is that we don't have a separate transportation plan and a separate land use strategy. No, that those things are together, because you can't have one without the other. You can't look at the transportation system and not look at access to jobs. You know, you get the idea, right? That coordinated, integrated strategy is everything for us. We call it right now Future LV, the regional plan. I don't know what it'll be called towards the end of this year, early next year, when it'll be complete. But, you know, operating term Future LV works pretty great for that, because that's exactly what we're looking at. We're looking at the issues now, but what does that mean for our future, and how are we going to get there?
And to give you an idea, I think as like a layman, you wouldn't understand how this is applied, but you would think it's on a shelf, and then somebody decides, well, let's look at this and let's see how we do things. It actually gets used every single day. So when a plan comes in, one of the planners grabs the plan, they open up Future LV and see if that plan matches Future LV. So they're literally opening up Future LV and looking at the policies every single day for every single land development plan that comes in.
And then it has that financial component through the Metropolitan Transportation Plan that's over $2 billion. So once that plan's adopted, it essentially has an entire list of projects that we hope to accomplish out of it. So things that are in the current plan that are, you know, in planning and construction now include like the 309 at Tillman Interchange, the about to be started 309 at Center Valley Interchange, the rehabilitation of the Hill to Hill Bridge. We're planning for a new interchange down at 191 and 22. All of those things are in our current plan. And so once it's in our current plan and it's qualified for federal resources, we actually put a dollar sign on those transportation improvements. So there is direct implementation coming out of our transportation board, USDOT and PennDOT, in this collaborative metropolitan planning partnership that we have. But also businesses are looking at that and saying, okay, well, if this is where we have adequate sewer and water, well, maybe that's where I'd like to build or expand my business. And so it becomes a very important tool for the private sector, as well as our municipal partners who are at the table the entire time that the policy is being written on the plan. So you'll hear a lot more about this. And we're really excited about, we call it the policy year, because that's when we get to go out and share all the data and talk about what it means and really come up with the next direction for the region. So that's what you can expect to see in 2026. And then the goal is to have that adopted in 2027.
All right. Well, that's a lot to look forward to. And I feel like you two are going to be really busy along with all of your colleagues. Thank you so much for sharing that all with us. And we look forward to talking about each topic a little bit more in depth throughout the year. You've been listening to Plan Lehigh Valley on WDIY 88.1.